Welcome back to the If She Did It podcast. This week is honestly an amazing episode. You're in for a real treat. I had the pleasure, the gift, the opportunity to have one of my favorite business coaches who I worked with for nearly a year, if not a year, and she helped me reach some crazy, amazing milestones in my business. And I'm so grateful for her. And I finally got to have her on my podcast. And I'm so excited. It was such an amazing episode. And I know you all are going to learn a lot from it. So this week, I have Kate Perkovic on the podcast. She is a phenomenal business coach. She is the sales sweetheart. And she's just phenomenal. So I'm so excited for you all to enjoy this episode and take a lot away from it. But before we dive in, I do want to share what's going on in the world of Becky Fagan coaching. So you will be able to download the High Ticket Hacker freebie in the link in the show notes. That is my go-to freebie. I actually made it with Kate when I was working with her. But there's a new freebie, and it's a freebie experience that is coming out next week. So definitely tune into next week's episode because I will be linking that one in the show notes, and I am so freaking excited for it. I haven't had the excitement, drive, inspiration to create a new freebie in a long time, but this one is going to be so fun. It's a full-on email experience with videos, and it's going to be amazing. So I can't wait for you all to get your hands on that. So stay tuned for that one. And the other thing is, interest is increasing for the summer round of the Abundant Business Academy. Spots are starting to fill, and there are only 2 VIP spots left. So if you are interested in kickstarting your business this summer, building the most powerful, solid foundation, and really starting to grow your business, sign dream clients, and create the business of your dreams while having a hell of a lot of fun doing it, this is the time to apply. The program, I won't actually be launching the program for another couple of weeks, but if you enroll now until June 21st, you will be getting over $2,000 worth of bonuses, including a one-on-one intensive with me that is the most impactful one-on-one call you will ever have with a coach, in my humble opinion. We're going to look at what you currently have. If you have nothing, that's fine. You will walk away with an insanely amazing plan to work towards while waiting for ABA to start. And we're going to find the holes. We're going to figure out how you can start making money soon, like as soon as possible. And it's a really fun thing to do. And I'm so excited to be offering this as a bonus along with a lot of other bonuses. So definitely go check out the link in the show notes for the current sales page, which is getting a update. And yeah, go check that out and apply, because if you enroll by June 21st, you get all those epic bonuses. But with that, I've been talking a lot already. So let's dive into this week's episode, because I'm seriously so excited for you all to enjoy it.
Welcome to the If She Did It podcast. I'm your host, Becky Fagan, a business coach for beginner online entrepreneurs. Consider this podcast your go-to guide for all things scaling your business to your first 10K months. Get ready to be inspired through marketing, mindset, spirituality, and the stories of successful frempreneurs. I'm so excited to have you here. Now let's dive in.
Welcome to the podcast, Kate. I'm so excited to have you.
So excited to be here. It's going to be so good.
Yay. Okay. So let's dive right in and start this episode by you introducing yourself to us. Share who you are, what you do, share your story with us.
Yeah. Okay. I'll try to keep it Cole's notes. So I kind of, in going back to the start, I was a server when I first found the online space. Just like many people, I was on Instagram scrolling, and I saw this influencer that I really, really connected with, and she was going to a conference, and I was like, you know what? I want to be around this circle. Bought a ticket to the conference at the time, and went to this weekend, kind of like, as I'm sure you guys know about with business conferences, went to this business conference and was just like instantly obsessed with the vibe. People were talking at that time. People were like, oh, like I have this lead magnet. I'm like, what the hell is a lead magnet? Like, I had no idea what was going on with anything at that time. I was just so inspired by weirdly enough, how much I didn't know, and that it really was an opportunity for me to grow a lot inside of something that was so new to me and that I didn't see a lot of people doing. And with that, I was super inspired by people. At that time, I was like a server making, you know, a couple thousand dollars a month, normal, you know, minimum wage job. And being in a room with people who were like, yeah, like I had a 50K week. And I was like, excuse me, what? Like, I just couldn't fathom that this was actually possible for people. And so I think it sparked something in me. And in that, I joined a mastermind while there that weekend. And I originally was starting actually in the fitness space. When I went to the conference, I was there with my boyfriend, Phil, and both of us were really, really super into working out. And at the time wanted to become a fitness coach. I did that for a while, but anyone who knows me and my brand knows that I'm like obsessed with wine and chocolate and like just a lot of food. So for me, I didn't really fit naturally into the fitness space. And I felt a resistance, and it was just because I was trying to be something that, to be honest, I wasn't. And so I decided that I was going to pivot and go into business coaching because I really liked the business side of what I was doing. I just didn't like talking about like chicken and broccoli and macros and all of that day to day. So in leaning into business coaching, actually, one of my mentors reached out to me. I released a freebie and he downloaded it and was like, I really want to chat with you to see how we might be able to work together. So he actually asked me to be the coach for his beginner start your business program. And so we essentially co-coached together, and in coaching inside of his, he had his own multiple seven-figure business and I was a coach for him. And in that, had an opportunity one day to get on some sales calls. And I was like, you know, I don't really have any sales experience. Like I haven't really done outside of, you know, what everybody does when they're selling their programs, kind of winging it, let's say, when you're first starting. I didn't have a lot of experience, but I was like, you know what? Every single time that I've gone into something I had no experience in and I was completely clueless to, I ended up doing all right. So I leaned in, I got on the calls and ended up closing, you know, really quite a few packages at high price points of, you know, 20,000 plus. And I was like, you know, I have a real knack for this. So I leaned into the sales calls and actually became a full-time high ticket closer for him. And I did that for a little while, but I think for me, the missing piece was that I just wasn't fulfilled by the fact that I was selling people, but I wasn't part of the transformation. And so I actually ended up leaving that position and starting my own business and teaching people how to do high ticket sales, which is actually where we first met. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I've now transitioned and pivoted into only business coaching. So that's what I help people to do now is to start and scale their online business.
Yeah. So as you were sharing your story, I was like trying to think of where do we dive into first from here? And I think something that is, you know, people think about a lot and they see a lot is, let me back up because what I'm saying does not make any sense. Let's try again. So, you know, something that you do talk about a lot is how quickly you grew. When you started your own business, you grew very quickly. And I know that recently you've been talking a lot about like mentally and in the mindset, like how that impacted you. Yeah. So I'd love to hear what was that, light bulb moment when you were like, hang on, I need to slow down. I'm growing really fast and yeah. I need to catch up to myself.
Yeah. I mean, so when I left the high ticket closer position, that's kind of what I consider to be my day one, even though I knew about the online space and I'd been in fitness, like for me as a business coach in that career, that's my day one. And so from my day one, within 1 year, I was at 100K months. And so the thing that's really interesting, and I'm really excited, obviously, to talk about this with you, because I think that a lot of the time the online space really glamorizes growth. And I talk about it a lot with people that I don't think that they realize, well, that's a really sexy story. It's a really cool punchline. The behind the scenes of what it took to make that happen in 12 months, most people would not want, which is the, honestly, and I know we've talked about this even privately between the two of us, right? Like is the growth and the impact on other areas of your life that it took to have that financial win and that kind of, you know, story, essentially. It was a lot of really early mornings. There was a lot of times where I was getting up at like 5 a.m. to start working and I was finishing at 12 o'clock at night and it was nonstop like that for several months. There was times where I just didn't take weekends off. There wasn't weekends. It wasn't a thing. And even friendships. I had people messaging me, texting me, being like, hey, are you alive? Like, what's good? Like, you were going to, you know, hang out with us. You were going to come to this dinner and you didn't come. It's like, I'm busy. I'm working. And like, it really took a couple of different sparks, I would say, that all had the same message. It took a couple of sparks that all had the same message for me to really realize that something was wrong. Like having people reaching out, being like, where are you? Having family members say, oh, Kate's never going to go to that. She's too busy with work. Like almost saying it on my behalf that it was assumed I wouldn't be there. I was like, well, that's weird. And I think I just started to see relationships die off. I started to see my health decrease. Like I started to gain weight different from how I had previously. My energy was low. You know, migraines, literally like hair falling out. Like I'm talking like high levels of stress. And I think the thing is for me, when I was in the online space, it was so glamorized to grow quickly. Like it was so like, you're, you know, a boss if you do XYZ in certain time frame. Nobody told me about the reality that kind of sometimes came with that behind the scenes. And so for me, it questioned like, is it worth it? And so the biggest, I guess, to your question around the number one thing that hit me was actually when I hit that 100K month. Like up until building that, once that 100K cash month happened, was actually, while some people would have it as the biggest celebration, pop the Prosecco, have the party, we did it, balloons, whatever for Instagram, was my biggest breakdown. Because for me, it was, I literally nearly killed myself to get here in such a short period of time. And I don't feel any different. I have this goal. I have this great business. I have these incredible clients. But for me, that monumental goal was just such a letdown because there was so much buildup to hitting it that when I actually got there, I realized I didn't even enjoy the process. I just had my head down, get to the goal. And then I got there and it just became like, this isn't even fun anymore. And so it was really a huge moment, I would say, in my journey of like, okay, like what am I really looking to do here? And what kind of business do I really want to build?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you were to go back and do it all again, knowing what you know from your journey, would you change that? Like, what would you change about it?
I think the self-inflicted pressure of speed. I think like I didn't really see, and I really do blame the online space for this because I think that in, you know, traditional business models, say you're opening a brick and mortar, you're not expecting to be a multimillionaire within your first 6 months, right? Like that's just never something people assume. But for some reason, the online space, and I was just having this conversation, actually, I just got off a call with someone about the exact same thing, which was she felt like a failure because she's like, I had 10K month, 15K month, 20K month, but then I went back to 12, but then I went to 15 and I was like, oh, I didn't get to 30 after the 20. And I was trying to unpack why we have this mentality around the fact that it's supposed to be this upward growth without any road bumps in between. And so I think that's the thing that I would like to change about my past mindset is the idea that if you have, you know, $1 million business in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, like it doesn't change anything about the value of who you are as a person or as a business owner, you still have $1 million business. So the question becomes, why do we have such an intense pressure around it having to happen in a certain time frame? And when I've unpacked this and kind of just in listening in the online space, I think that there's a lot of comparison that happens. And I think that we see other people's journey as like the benchmark of what ours is supposed to look like. And if we don't do, say you see, sorry if there's a Stacy out there, but say you see Stacy who does, you know, 50K months kind of thing, or even if you're looking at me, say, and you're saying, okay, she did 0 to 100K months in 1 year. Well, if I don't do that and I don't hit that benchmark, then that means that I'm not successful. Well, no. It's just, that's my journey. And there's a lot of things you're not seeing behind that, that kind of contributed to that. So My biggest advice to someone who's kind of, you know, in the building phase and maybe you're feeling like you're not at pace with other people that you might look up to. The biggest thing I'd pass along that I wish someone had told me was like, why are you in a rush? Like if you're thinking about the fact you want to have a business for the next 5, 10, 50 years potentially. With that, why does it have to happen in this quarter, this year, this next 2 years? Like, as long as you're successful in your business long-term based on the goals that you have, like, that really should be all that matters.
Yeah, it's so true. Something I tell my clients all the time, I'm like, the only timeline you're on is your own. You've created this timeline for yourself and you've decided that you have to hit this. And of course, a lot of people do start their businesses. And I think it is a lot of the online space. The online space makes it seem like 6 figures in 6 months. It's like such the thing. You and I both always used to talk about it, but like 6 figures in 6 months. They see that. And I think that it's so achievable. It's scary, but everybody's doing it. And so we put ourselves sometimes in really uncomfortable positions, like quitting our job and then having like relying solely on this business to make us money. And some people can stand up to that and, you know, get through it. I mean, it's painful, it's stressful, it's overwhelming, and they get through it. But some people like cripple under that pressure. And it's like, we do this to ourselves because we see this online space and we think we have to do X, Y, Z. But it's like, what if we slowed down the timeline, just like you're saying? Or even the thing that's like really humbled me and kept me like sane, I guess you can say, and like, okay with the fact that I've grown slow, but continue to grow, like sustainably continuing to grow, is I remember, I think that was actually one time that I don't remember if it was when we started one-on-one coaching together, if when it was when I did ITI, but one of the times, or this was actually, I think the second time I had the conversation, but it clicked this time. I made a comment to my parents about how, you know, I was feeling kind of guilty because I put it on a 0% interest credit card, not because I couldn't afford it, but because why the hell not? Like, why would I not if I had that, if I had that option? And they reminded me that for the first probably 5 to 8 years of their marriage, they relied on credit cards to like buy furniture for their house or their apartment, to like buy groceries from paycheck to paycheck. Like, that's what they had to rely on because they didn't make enough money. So they're like, the fact that you're 25 years old, or I might've been 24 at the time, the fact that you're this young and you can afford what you can afford is huge. So we like put all this pressure on ourselves when the reality is we're all probably doing 10 times better than we think we're actually doing.
100%. And I think you have to separate yourself from the environment that you're in to really realize how fortunate you are. Right. And I think, like, obviously when you're in high school, it's something they talk about, right? Is like, go help the less fortunate to realize and get some perspective. And I think that is something that is needed. I think me retreating from, you know, friends and family to really work on the business was a huge detriment to my success because it didn't allow me to be grateful. I would hit a, you know, at some point closing a 20K package didn't fire me up. And I'm like, that means something's wrong because I'm literally the most grateful, the most privileged person to be able to have that as part of my reality. And yet this is how I feel from it. And I think for me, the thing that's really interesting is it really changed the dialogue for me around money with happiness. And I think that's also something that I pass along to people who are building their business is like, asking yourself, how can you identify success for yourself as a business owner if you weren't allowed to reference money, if you weren't allowed to reference sales? And so for me, I had someone say on a podcast, they asked me when I was building my business, I remember this was the most awkward podcast because they said, you know, outside of your business, what do you do for fun? And I remember being like, because at the time I wasn't having fun, right? Like I wasn't doing anything other than business. And I realized how wrapped up my own identity as Kate was, as like Kate is the business and there is no separate entity. And I think as much as, you know, as a personal brand, you are your business, you have to figure out how do you love yourself outside of the growth or the, you know, downward times of your business. If your business has a failure, that doesn't make you a failure. It just means that the business had a road bump. And I think the online space has this really powerful way of making people feel that they are their business. So if the business fails, they've failed. And I think that it's something we need to change the narrative of because it makes people feel very defeated to continue. When you kind of separate your business from yourself, you realize like you've actually accomplished a lot, right? Like you have this, if you're someone who's building a business, you know, marketing that other people don't know, like you set around yourself in a circle with someone else who's like, oh, like Instagram Reels, like what is that? And you're like, wait, what? Like you start to realize what other people don't know.
Yeah.
And it gives you perspective.
It's so true. We as business owners, we don't realize how like well-rounded we are and how much we really know until we take ourselves yeah. out. I was with a friend the other day and I had this, in my opinion, genius idea for an app, but it has nothing to do with my business. It'd be a completely different business, but I think it's genius, but it would honestly cost probably like millions of dollars to create and get up and running before there was even any profit. And I'm like, who the fuck's going to give me millions of dollars to do this? But anyway, yeah. I was telling my friend about it and I was like breaking down everything that would have to happen. Mind you, I don't even know that much about app creation. So I'm like, from what I know, this is what would have to happen. And she was yeah. like, I never realized that it was this complex. Like I thought you just yeah. ask someone to make you an app and then you put it on the app store. Like people don't realize. And I don't even necessarily realize half the time how much I really do know. Until I'm in a space with people that don't know it. So it's yeah. so true. Like there's so many more things for us to be celebrating beyond the money that we're making.
Yeah. I mean, I have two family members who work in my business. My mom and my sister both work with us. And it was interesting because when they came in, I was like, yeah, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And they're like, wait, like, what is Kartra? I'm like, oh, okay. So then I'm like, I'm going into it. Right. And I'm like, so then you have like agitation, you have a problem wear content. They're like, wait, what? Like, it's so above their head. And you start to realize people don't just know this. Like, this isn't just mm-hmm. common understanding. Like if you're someone who's in the online space and you're making content, you're creating programs and you even know what a niche is, like you still are like steps ahead of many people who are going to be starting. So
I
think it is essential for long-term growth that you're able to really be able to see the success in yourself outside of the money within the bank account or the money within the business or the sales that you're making, because that's not really what determines your value in this space or in your life.
Yeah. So I have what you might, when I'm first asking, it might seem like a really weird question, but I think this would be really interesting because something that I've witnessed with my clients and with people that I talk to on Instagram a lot is that they're comparing themselves to people maybe like you, where you had made reaching 100K cash a month within your first year in business, mm-hmm. when they're just getting started in their business and they're only working a couple hours a day and then they want to go, you know, do things for themselves, which is great. Like we get to grow our business at the amount of time we want to grow it. If we want to grow it slower, we get to grow it slower. Yeah. But I think a lot of times people don't necessarily realize like that they're choosing to grow it slower because there's a lot of narrative on the online space that make people think that you only need to work 2 hours a day to reach six figures that quickly. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's really this like obscure narrative online. So I know I was your client when you were going through this. So when you say you were working from 6 a.m. to midnight, I know you were because I was in it with you. Yeah. But I think that some people might listen to this and hear that in your like story and be like, oh yeah, she's like, that's dramatic. Like, and I know it wasn't. So I would love for you to kind of, you don't have to go in like super detail, but like when you were working from like 6 a.m. to midnight, what were you doing every day?
Yeah. I mean, I think to the point of the time in a day, like even now inside of our programs, like I'm very transparent about what I do for business. And I'm also very transparent that it's not the way for everyone. And I do think that I have this weird obsession with speed. And I think that I've been on this kind of, you know, roller coaster in the first year going that fast that I almost feel weird to slow down now. Like it feels bizarre to be like, oh, let's just like sustainably grow. Right. Like, so for me, it's trying to look at how to sustainably grow with also having speed. And that's my model, but that doesn't have to be the model for everybody. And again, I think that's what you have to be very conscious of is what is the type of business you're looking to create. So for me, I'll be honest, like I don't have kids. I am, you know, in a great relationship, but for us, we are very much focused on our life together and our business for the next couple of years. So for me, my business is literally my baby right now and my sole focus. Now for some people, that's not going to be the case. Maybe you're someone who's like, I really love to travel and I only want to work 2 hours a day. That is okay. I think that you'd have to pick the schedule that works for you and realize that, like, I don't judge people who work 2 hours a day and I don't judge people who work 16 hour days, right? Like it's totally up to you. The thing that I would say with the hours that I put in, and kind of where those went was I literally was a one person show, in the sense of like, if I wanted a sales page, I was doing the copy, I was editing it, I was doing the photos, I was doing the design. Like I was having to really figure it out start to finish. So anything that had to be implemented had to be done by me. That plus having a lot of clients, obviously, and kind of having that monthly income, it was all on me. I didn't really have at that time any co-coaches, any of that. Like it was very much one-on-one coaching as we did. And then also inside of ITI, something that I prioritize is having unlimited support now. So that's something that takes up a lot of time. So there was kind of certain measurements that I put up for myself in different areas of the business. So like marketing with Coffee with Kate, I was showing up live every single morning and doing free coaching. Like that stuff takes time. So with that, I feel like I kind of went pedal to the metal on a lot of things. And because of that, it created a lot of consumption of my time. Now, to that point, I think in kind of analyzing myself, I don't know that it was the most productive use of my time. I think at that point, my mindset was that doing more meant I would accomplish more. And while the results were coming in, I do think I could have been smarter about it. So to be successful, to have that growth, I don't think that you need to be working 12-hour days. It really, I've really kind of completely shifted how I work now. But at the time, it was the whole idea of like hustle culture, right? Where it's like you can outwork anyone. And to an extent, that's true. But when you're burnt out and you're uninspired and you're exhausted, that's not going to help you to build any quicker with your business. So if you're someone who's kind of thinking, well, I only have a couple hours a day, in my opinion, it's not really about the number of hours that you're putting in. While that can obviously affect the speed at which you grow, it's really a matter of what are you doing with the hours that you have? And so when I was a server, I only had 3 hours a day to build my business. And so the thing is, are you respectfully farting around on Instagram and TikTok and whatever, trying to do quote unquote market research? Or are you actually implementing? And I think that's the piece that I'd say, if you are someone who doesn't want to be putting in those 12 hour days and you want to make sure that you're using the best of your time, give yourself that really harsh assessment to say, how much am I learning and consuming and being inspired and gathering information versus of the stuff that you've consumed, what have you actually done with it? Have you actually gone out and put it into action? And 90% of the people that I speak with haven't, and they're just so inspired and I love consuming and I love that live and I love that post. And that's great, but you have to actually go and put that into something. And so I think that's the most important use of those hours.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's also the like knowing what you need to do, but pushing it off. Like whenever I was like, whenever I first was started my business and like launched my program for the first time as a business coach, I was like, there is no option other than for me to get clients. And at that point, all I was using was my success as a, like my win as an Instagram marketing coach to get clients. Like I didn't have necessarily client results because I wasn't coaching to, like when I was teaching Instagram, I was literally teaching how, like that was back when like it was like a thing to teach how to use Instagram, and like that was it. So I wasn't teaching people how to get sales per se. I was teaching people how to get people into their audience, and then the sales was on them at the time. So I was only using myself as my like success story. But I was like, I don't care. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to make as much money as possible. And I really did. Like, all I did was post content and have conversations every single day. That is all I did. And I think that's such an important point. It's like, we need to identify where, like, honestly, where our priorities lie. What is most important to us? Is it like, for me, I didn't give a shit if I had a brand or not in terms of like visuals. I didn't give a shit if I had the right website. All I cared about was getting clients, helping people and making money. Like that's all I cared about. And so I think that that's, I mean, it was stressful as fuck, but I think that that's all we need to, I think that that's what people need to like really realize, is that you need to decide what's your priority and then how much time are you willing and able to spend on that priority every day.
Yeah. And I think money making tasks, like the thing in the online space is there's a lot of shiny objects. You could do Pinterest and you could do YouTube and you could make a podcast and you could be on TikTok and you could also do a Facebook group and you could, like, you're like, oh my gosh, like there's so many different things that I could do. And I think the thing that I always coach people on is, just because you could do it doesn't mean you should. And so it's really a matter of looking at what are the things that are actually moving the needle. And I know even for me, like really, really early stage, Kate, was spending, I used to have a part of my strategy, again, when I first started, didn't know what the heck I was doing, was a weekly freebie. I used to give a weekly freebie ebook out every single Friday. And so like looking back, I'm like, what a waste of time on Canva and whatever. And I'm like, oh, like this is gonna be the thing. And that's the other thing too, that I would say with the efforts of people who are building is like, don't look at one thing that you're gonna do to be your sole reason for success. Like for me, I look at the collective of efforts, not one intense effort that's gonna build my business. So I think some people even in their business will be like, oh, I'm gonna have this like one big kick-ass launch. And from there, that's gonna be the reason that I'm like, you know, X type of income earner. Well, the reality is it's actually the consistent efforts that you're making day to day and how those kind of build up momentum that's gonna get you those consistent outcomes that you want.
Yeah, exactly. And oh my gosh, why is this literally my life that I always have this question? Okay. I remember the question. Okay. This is my life. What can I say? So, I completely agree with that. First of all, I know I already said that, but I'm repeating myself. And second of all would be, I'm so curious, like if you could I'm so funny. Honestly, I just can't even speak. It's insane. We love foggy Becky that doesn't get to take her allergy meds. It's beautiful. We love it.
Love foggy Becky. We love
So, okay. Looking back at like everything that happened in your first, like, I don't know, year and a half in your business.
Yeah.
What are things that you're like almost most surprised happened? Not in a like money, like win type of way, in a like, hurdles or speed bumps that you weren't expecting to experience that happened in that first like year that you were growing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Things I wasn't expecting. Yeah, I mean, I think a huge piece that was really interesting for me was this element of confidence. Like, I think there was times that I think people saw me as super confident online, but behind the scenes, I was kind of like, I don't know. Like just trying to hope that I was making. And I think a lot of business owners to an extent are this way. Like when you're making a decision about something, whether it's like to create a program, to start on a certain platform, to hire somebody. I think when I started my business, I thought that there would be like this place of like, I am so confident in X. And I do think that's something that was surprising for me is I think as an entrepreneur, you're really taking leaps and just trying to have faith. Like this whole idea of like certainty that something that you're doing is the right move, you know, a partnership that you want to do, a platform you want to start on, like you're never going to be 100% that there is something that this is with certainty, without a doubt, the right thing that I'm supposed to do. And I also think something that I looked for was, this kind of to the point of certainty as well with, my business. I was always looking for balance. I was always looking to be like, okay, comfort. I was looking for like this, like, I know what's coming in with the business. I can anticipate every single day. It's like, you know, when you go into a 9-to-5 and you're like, I know what's going to happen today. I could do it with my eyes closed. I was almost thinking that the business at some point would get to that place where I just walk in and it's always the same. And I realized like, if you're someone who's becoming an entrepreneur and you're starting a business, like you're signing up for a lifelong term of uncertainty and putting out fires every single day. And so I think, you know, even now when we create systems, we have an incredible team and, you know, we've got these amazing clients, like there's still things that pop up that are just part of business. And I think, again, there hasn't been enough marketing or discussion, I don't think, around normalizing of road bumps and the fact that that really is part of business. And so for me, something that was surprising to me was that there really isn't this consistency in the day-to-day efforts. Like things are truly going to be different every single day and you have to welcome that roller coaster. And if it makes you uncomfortable, you kind of have to sit in that and try to process, how do I get comfort in this new reality that I'm in?
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that was kind of shocking to me was at a certain point, I remember going to a conference with a bunch of girlfriends. It was a business conference in San Diego. And I remember one of the speakers was saying, you know, who are people that make you essentially feel like shit online? When you go to their platform, like you consume them, but you don't really like them. Like you're not actually like, wow, I'm her biggest fan, but like, you're like weirdly like consuming, but you're kind of like jealous and you're comparing and you're like, why do I watch her even though I'm not really inspired by her at all? And I remember it was like something so easy. It was just like, okay, I want you to delete the five people that you know when you go to their platform make you feel like shit. And that moment for me, that moment was really interesting because it was shocking to me how I wasn't aware of my consumption. Mm. So I think that's something I'd also pass along as a tip for someone is like, step back and almost like watch yourself. Because a lot of what we do is just unconscious efforts, right? So you're scrolling on Instagram, you're going to certain people's pages, you're consuming their info, you're comparing yourself. But like, what if you just removed that? What if you just like blocked her? What if you just didn't even have that as something that could affect you in a day? And I was really shocked at the power of consumption and how it affects the mindset of an entrepreneur. Like it affects the... you considering, say you want to make an offer and you want it to be a certain price point, at a certain support level and a certain type of ideal client, but you're like, oh, but so-and-so is at this price point and so-and-so has this level of support, right? Like, what if you just block that out and you just lean into what your gut says? Mm. And so I think for me, something that was scary, kind of shocking and surprised me a bit was like the power of leaning into what your gut tells you and not really listening or caring what's going on. I think to an extent, I kind of tuned out the online, like my industry. And I was just like, I'm making this. So hopefully people want it. And hopefully this is something that's going to work out. And I've never to date had, you know, bad feedback on that. I've always kind of done something a little bit different than other people. And I think that the only reason I've been able to do that and be successful at it is because I don't really look at what other people do.
Yeah. I love that. I really love those. I think that the biggest thing for me was I literally am a completely different person than I was like 3 years ago. Yeah. Like the second business coach I hired, like the program started with me having a ticket to a live event of hers in New York City. And I met some of my like closest friends there. And I was like this shy, like freaking turtle in a shell. Like I refused to like, a big part of her brand is like dancing and like stepping up in front of the mic and talking. And I literally like sat there like this by myself, like the whole weekend. And people that are now like super close friends of mine, at the time they were like, they didn't even know me. They're like forcing this strange girl to dance and like be herself. And now I'm like, I don't fucking care. And I'm like, just a completely different person. And that's also led to me like losing a lot of friends, but also making a lot of friends. And so I think that that's the biggest thing is like, you don't realize that when you become an entrepreneur, you're literally changing, like your entire life's about to change. Like it really is.
You do. You become a completely different version of yourself. And I mean, I had the same thing. I lost a lot of friends when starting because people just didn't get it. They didn't get my motivators. They didn't get what I was trying to achieve. And I think that we are very conditioned as a society to kind of all follow the same give or take, you know, map to success of life. Like, you know, go to school and get your degree and get a good job and work your way up the ladder and get a house, get married, have kids, like the whole typical, you know, five-step life plan. And I think when you go against that, it scares people. It's mm-hmm. kind of like, that's risky. That's out there. Like that's bizarre that she's going to go do that thing. And I think even now, I'll be honest, there's a lot of people who don't know what the heck I do. They're like, she posts on Instagram. I don't really know what she's up to over there. Like they don't really know what you do. But I do think that it's kind of just something that goes with the territory. And as you grow your business, whether you are someone at 5K months, 10K months, or you want to go to become even like a multiple seven figure earner, every single version of you as a business owner also has to develop. You have to change to get to that next level that you want to get to. So yeah, I think your identity is going to be ever evolving. And I think typically when we are in, you know, that five-step plan, our identity is what it is. And we just go through the process.
Yeah. And I think the risk part that you said, like where people are thinking like you're risky, I think that's like such a good point as well, because it's true. Honestly, it is like being an entrepreneur is risky, but that's the thing is like, we have to be willing to take risk. Like I know people that, you know, felt like they got it and were like, I would love to be an entrepreneur one day, but like that, I just don't have the money. And I was like, I didn't have the money either, but I wanted it and I would do anything to make it happen. So I figured it out. And sometimes I still make investments that I don't have the money for, yeah, but I figure it out because it's what I want and it's the support I want in my business and it's the growth I want. And so I think that's another big thing is like realizing that entrepreneurship is just, it's a bunch of uncertainty and a bunch of taking risks that we don't know the outcome to until we get it.
Yeah. I mean, even when we first started the business, like we sold Phil's condo to get our first coach. And it was just like, people thought we were crazy. Like, what the frig are you talking about? And it's just like, we didn't have the money to hire a coach. And it was like a 20,000 something investment. We're like, we don't have it. And so we put down our first month. We had no idea how we're going to pay it. And then we had the conversation and very quickly his condo sold. And that was that. And we went into coaching. And I mean, even now, every single day I make investments into people that I'm like, I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do, but let's lean in. Like fear has never served me. Like every single time that I have done something other people would deem to be questionable in judgment. The whole pros and cons list as an entrepreneur is not really a thing. It's this gut. You have to be careful. Obviously you don't want to be completely out there and not ever use judgment, but I think there's this element of like, you just got to trust yourself. And with that also anticipate that sometimes you will fail and that's okay. So I think, you know, I've had hires that I was like, you know what, I didn't handle that right. Or I didn't, that was too soon. Or I hired that person too late, or, you know, that wasn't the right investment for my business. Right. It's not money wasted. All of it is an experience and it's a lesson ultimately for you. But I definitely think that being an entrepreneur is a series of leaps. And this whole idea of, you know, even when people will say like, I want to like run my numbers and like have my plan and like all of that. I'm like, girl, you just need to lean the hell in. Like you just need to take the leap. I get you're scared. That is valid. It's valid for you to be uncertain. It's valid for you to be scared of investing into your business. It's valid to not be sure if this is the right next offer, next step, next platform. But the thing is like, you're literally not going to know if you don't go do it. So if it fails, great. You learned a lesson, move on.
Yeah, it's so true. It really is. Failure is part of the process. Okay. I feel like I can talk to you and ask you questions all day long, but also I know we both have things coming up in a couple minutes. So to close out this episode, I would love to hear from you what advice you would give to somebody that's listening to this podcast that is in the beginning stages of their business. And they have to, it's like time to take that next step, whatever that next step is for them, but they're scared to take it. What would you say?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things to people who are starting. Number one, the girl you're consuming is not special. She just did it. So, I mean, there's a lot of people who will compare themselves to people who are bigger than them and thinking like in the sense of like income or impact or whatever it may be and think like, oh, that can't happen for me. No, it 100% can happen for you. But there is this reality of people getting in their own way. And so you really have to ask yourself, are you your biggest cheerleader? Are you someone who believes in you more than anyone else in your life? And if you don't, you have to get yourself to that place because that's the only thing that's going to keep you safe in this journey. You have to know that you're the shit and that you're going to make it. So I think that's a really important piece. And if you're scared of that next level, I mean, again, I think that, you know, you want to get to the next level in your business, honor the fear. The fear is not bad. Like, I think people have to really normalize that I'm scared of stuff all the time, but I do it anyway. That's the difference, is that if you're needing to take a leap to put something into action, to invest into a program, whatever it is, invest into a coach or invest into a team member, like you have to lean in even though you're uncertain. For the next level in your business, if you really want to grow and you want to grow quickly, something that you may not have considered is like, you're looking at the strategies and you're looking at, you know, how do I, you know, do this for a launch, this for marketing, this for sales. And something I would challenge you on is if you threw that out the window, ask yourself, do you deserve it based on the way you operate your day right now? Because a lot of the time I will say the people who want the biggest impact for me when I was like, oh, I want to hit, you know, when I was going for seven figures and I was like, I want to hit seven figures. My coach said to me, you don't deserve to hit seven figures. And I was like, excuse me? Cause I'm like, I'm working my ass off over here. Right. Like I was so taken back. And the thing is, it's been really a huge eye opener. And I would pass it along to everyone who's building is like, do you deserve it? Because are you actually operating the way that you need to today? This is relationships. It's how you, you know, manage, you know, clients. It's how you show up right now. It's how you operate your day. Are you someone who's, you know, sleeping half of the day and being like, I just don't know why I'm not growing, right? Like you have to check yourself on those things. And for me, when I was kind of having this like, you know, bottleneck, I would say in my growth, I had to look at nothing around strategy. It wasn't anything to do around what I was implementing. Everything I was implementing was right. It's just how I was operating my day didn't support the growth that I wanted. And I had to become that person to get to that level. So if you're trying to grow your business, question yourself on the habits and the ways that the people that you idolize, how do they operate? Don't look at what they're saying or what they're teaching or what they're putting out, but implement what they do. So like if there's someone who is showing up a certain amount, look at, okay, well, how can I show up stronger? How can I be more confident? How can I, you know, operate and take better care of myself so my energy is higher to serve others? Those personal qualities are just as important as any strategy.
That's so good. I love that. It's so true. Well, that I feel like this is the end of every podcast episode. I ask that question and I'm just like, I love that. Yes. Amazing. Let's go. But seriously, I do love that advice. So thank you so much, Kate, for that. And thank you for being here today.
Yeah, it was a blast. Thank you for having me.
Okay, y'all. I'm just obsessed with Kate. I love her. She's amazing. I hope you enjoyed it. I seriously could have kept asking her questions, but this was a pretty long episode, longer than most of mine usually are, and we both had things we had to get to, so we had to end it, but I think that we covered a lot of really great ground in this episode, and I hope that it spoke to you. I hope that it served you. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, it would mean the absolute world if you would leave a review of the podcast. Let me know what you're enjoying. If you enjoyed this specific episode, which I'm hoping, again, that you did, again, would mean the world if you shared it on Instagram, tagged us in it, let us know that you enjoyed listening. And the more you share, the more reviews we get, the more ears we can get into, the more lives we can impact and change. And that's the real goal here. So with that, I hope you have a fabulous week. Don't forget to check out the Abundant Business Academy and apply before it's too late to get all those epic bonuses. And I will see you next week on the If She Did It podcast.